And I trust you've already been encouraged and blessed as we've been singing together and talking with our Lord. Just whisper a prayer for me. I woke this morning with a sore throat, and I know what it is. My sinus is really bothering me badly. And also it's Satan trying to stop me from doing what I'm here to do. We'll get the better of him by the grace of God. I want to share with you this evening, Brother Larry mentioned that I might be on the subject I was on Sunday, but I'm led to look for a portion in John for the next three Tuesdays, the Lord be not come, with the theme in mind of being changed to serve. Being changed to serve. We're going to read John chapter 21 and the first eight verses of that chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth, and entered into a boat immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples recognized not that it was Jesus. How sad. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? Or do you have anything to eat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or 300 feet, dragging the net full of fish. We're going to stop there this evening. I'm sure the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. With the theme in mind, being changed to serve, I want us to think as well that we, and when I say we, I'm speaking to those of us tonight as believers, that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are fishers of men. And the idea from this theme tonight, we are to obey Him. We're fishers of men. We must obey him. When you read the last verse, or the last two verses, as a matter of fact, of the 20th chapter of John, you would almost conclude that John had finished writing this book. And I say that because if you turn to the last verse in the 21st chapter, they're basically the same word. Basically the same words. But it is believed that the Holy Spirit directed John to continue on with this writing for a very specific reason. And the reason is, as we read it, and you will see that the entire chapter is based almost all on his fellow disciple, and later a very close associate in the ministry, the Apostle Peter. You read through that and see how many times Peter's name is mentioned in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Peter, the one that we know, we've heard of him so often in our lifetimes, the one who was a fisherman. He was called from being a fisherman to catch men. He was also one known to be very outspoken. Actually, his tongue got him in lots of trouble. He was also one that denied his Lord. But we know that he was restored as he later repented. It is widely believed, and I've read several books written by great men of God on this subject, that John did not want to hand his gospel without telling his readers, and even you and I tonight, how that Peter, his beloved brother in Christ, had been restored back to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He was restored back to fellowship. He was given new directives in his life to follow the Lord, as we shall see as we go through this passage of Scripture. But I want you to note also in this 21st chapter, portion of which that I read to you here tonight, that there are three areas that we want to share with you. Three areas of the believer's responsibility or directions that you and I are asked by God to follow as we seek to do His will in our service for the Lord Jesus. And the first one we look at tonight is that we are fishers of men, and we are to obey Him. Now, the Lord Jesus laid out this program prior to His going back to heaven. We know this. It is every believer's commission, whoever we are, that we are to go, we are to teach, we are to baptize, and we are to bring others to the Lord. That's our commission. That's our duty. When we accept and acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He doesn't call us just to save us and have us sit and wait for Him to take us home. He calls us, and He calls us to a service for Him. Whatever that service might be in your life and mine, and we can find out what it is. We can find out what it is. Maybe some of us it takes a little longer to do than others. But God has a plan for service for you and I, for every one of our lives, whatever it might be. Some of us may not be able to stand where I am, and I never thought that I would be where I am. But we can and should obey God. We can and should follow the call of God in our lives, whatever it may be. We may look at it as meaningless, but I want to say this evening that nothing is meaningless in the sight of God if we do it with love in our hearts to honor Almighty God. Nothing is meaningless. Every little thing that you and I do will count. We will receive a reward for it someday. That's why it's imperative this evening that you and I seek to obey the will of God and the Word of God in our hearts and lives. After Jesus arose from the dead, as we look at this passage of Scripture, He gave His disciples instructions to meet Him in Galilee. Twice we read of this. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, Jesus Himself said to them, "I want you to go to Galilee and wait for me there." In Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, the angels gave the same message. And as a matter of fact, when the angel gave the message, we note that Peter was one that was specifically mentioned. He said, "I want you to go to Galilee and wait there for me and tell Peter." Why? We know the reasons why. We've heard much about it. For reasons we're all aware of. We must note this one thing specifically, above all else tonight. Jesus did not say to them, tell Peter, I want him to go fishing. If you get what I mean. He did not say, tell Peter to go on a fishing expedition. He wanted them to go to Galilee to wait for him to come. It was a directive. It was supposed to be an act of obedience on their part. And unfortunately, this is where many of God's people fall today in our service to Him. We are not willing to be obedient to the call of God in our lives. Many of us, many times, are like the prophet Jonah. He calls us to go in one direction, and we jump ship and go in the other direction, and many times God has to speak to us harshly to turn us around, to get us on the right path and the right track. Many times we get involved in things of God, but are they the things that God wants us to be involved in? Are they the areas that God has called us to work in? Are they the things that God wants us to do and the places that God wants us to be? And we must ask ourselves these questions as His children. Am I in the will of God? Am I being obedient to the Word of God? Am I following the direction and the directive that God has for my life? And beloved, tonight, if we are not following the directive, if we're not following the direction and the plan that God has for our lives, we're not being obedient to the will of God, as we see happen here in this passage of Scripture. God has something for your life and mine, and I speak from personal experience in my own life. For many years, I had been encouraged to go out into the ministry, and I never felt led to do so. I would help out, I would speak in many areas for many, many years. But I never felt the call of God in my life to go full-time into the ministry until one day I was speaking at the Gospel Chapel in Marsh Harbor. And in my preparation for that message, and I want to tell you, as I sat in my study and prepared that message, when I completed the notes that I was making, there were tears flowing down my cheeks. And then, and only then, I realized that this is what God wants me to do, irrespective of what I think. God has led me to this, and in other areas, He has directed the path that He wants me to take. And beloved, this is what God will do for you if we're willing to be obedient to His Word and follow His will for our life. If we're not doing what He wants us to do, it's not going to survive. It's not going to stand. It will gradually fall apart. We must ask God for His directive and find ourselves in the will of God. He wanted Peter and his disciples to wait for Him, to be obedient for Him, to show Him that they were obedient to His Word. Unfortunately, rather than wait, what do we see happen? Rather than wait for the Lord to come, to give them His final directive, to meet with them perhaps for the last time, guess who decides to go fishing? Peter. Peter decides to go fishing. Why? Why? Well, some Bible scholars believe he was within his rights to go fishing. It has been said that perhaps he needed the finances to support his family. Well, why sit around waiting? You see, this is the attitude many believers have. Why sit around waiting to find out what God wants me to do for Him? Why wait? Why wait for Jesus to come? That's the fleshly attitude, and that's the attitude that Peter took. Peter was wrong. Why was he wrong? Because Jesus had called him from such a life years before. Jesus had called Peter from fishing for fish years before. In Luke chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, fear not, from henceforth. Henceforth means from now on, thou shalt catch men. He didn't say he was going to catch fish anymore. He said, Peter, I'm calling you to catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. You see, that's the beginning of being obedient to the Word of God. Forsaking all. Forsaking all. Turning loose the ties that bind. Determining within ourselves that this is what God wants me to do. This is where I am. This is where I should be. God is pleased with what I am doing. I see things that are happening because of what's going on. God wants me there. And beloved, we need to see this in our lives as we forsake all and follow Him. I know it's difficult. Difficult many times with the attachments of life, with the things that are around us to turn loose. Beloved, if we're going to be successful in our lives with Jesus Christ, we must put Him first. We must put Him first in every area of our lives, in every aspect of our lives. And this is a proven fact. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. We're to put God first in our lives. Fortunately, so many times in our lives, we put Him second. Sometimes third. Sometimes way down the line in our lives. But we, if we're going to be successful in our Christian life, if our service is going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to forsake the material things of life and put Him first. And I'll tell you something, He will meet that need in our lives. He will meet the needs in our lives according to His precious will. And the sad part as we continue on with this story is, that if Peter was wrong, he took six other men along with him. He carried six others with him, or we might say, he led them astray. Because of what he did, that was not according to what God wanted him to do, he led six others in the same direction that he was going. And this is sad, and this is where it's important, and it's imperative that we know God's Word, that we know God's will for our life, so that we don't lead others astray. So that we don't lead others in the opposite directions in the wrong way that God wants them to go as well. And so Peter was responsible for the other six that now followed him on this fishing expedition. May I say that Peter was not the first to do this, and neither was he the last. Because it's happening today, even in this life, in this world in which we live. It says to you and I, as God's people, that we need to be very careful. We need to be mindful of who we are. We need to remember that we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and died for our sins. The one who has promised to come back for us and take us to be with Him someday in heaven. He paid the ultimate price. And the least that we can do is be obedient to His Word. The least that we can do is to follow His direction in our life and be careful not to follow the flesh and lose out and the joy and the blessings that God has for us as we seek to do His will. I want to tell you, my friends, that I have discovered this in my life, that there is nothing more blessed than being able to talk to people about the things of God. And one of the greatest joys in my life has been to sit with men and women, young men, young women, and talk to them about God and see them bow their heads and hearts with tears running down their faces and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Cups full and running over with joy. And these are the blessings that you and I will receive. And no, you don't have to be a preacher. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can sing in the choir. You can be an elder, a deacon, whatever it is. You can stand at the door and give out tracts or whatever it is. As you live your life in this community of Spanish Wells, as men and women you meet every day, as you talk to them, as they look at you, as you live, your life will be an example. And they too might want to know Jesus Christ, whom you know from whom you receive such joy and peace and happiness. You see what happened to Peter and these men? By being disobedient to the Word of God, their all-night fishing expedition ended by catching nothing. Catching nothing. Verse 3 says, they went forth and entered into a boat immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They were out toiling all night. This is again in reference to what I've already said. They were doing something that they were not supposed to be doing. They were not where the Lord Jesus had asked them to be. So therefore they could not be blessed. They could not receive the blessings that God had in store for them. They were not doing and being obedient to the will of God. They were out fishing for fish rather than fishing for man. They were out in the boat doing what God had called them from which they forsook all and followed Jesus. But because of their impatience and they're not willing to wait and follow the direction of God, they find themselves in a boat in the middle of the night catching nothing. Catching nothing. Had they forgotten Jesus' words of Luke 15 and 5, like many of us do, without me you can do nothing. Had they forgotten that? Without me you can do nothing. Peter must have remembered what happened 2 years earlier. As we read in Luke 5, at that time again, they had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus came upon the scene and they obeyed his word at that time, and the results were the net break and the ship began to sink and the catch was tremendous. This was in obedience to the word. Beloved, it's not a matter of how and when, but it is a matter of trust and obey. Trust and obey. Peter was perhaps sincere in what he was doing. He thought he was right. He didn't think back onto where he had been called from. He didn't think of what God or the Lord Jesus and the angels had specifically asked him to do and where he had asked them to be. But it was not what Jesus wanted. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. How sad. And the answer and the results of this was, they caught no fish. They caught no fish. The joy of the Lord was not with them. Like it is in many lives, when we get away from God, when we get into the wrong areas of life, the things that God wants us to do we're not doing, we lose that joy, we lose that relationship with God. And we feel it, and we know it. We know it. We know when we're in touch with God. We feel that sweet Spirit of God. We feel that divine presence of God in our lives as He leads us day by day and hour by hour. And then when we begin to go in opposite directions, we slowly begin to grow cold in our service. We begin to grow cold in our spirit and our lights begin to go out. And what happens? Our testimony dies. And we catch nothing. We catch nothing. But oh, thank God, He doesn't leave us alone. Thank God He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about His children. And He's willing to give us a second chance. He's willing to give us a third chance. He comes in unexpected times and many unexplainable ways. But thank God He comes. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Although we may falter and fail, although we may disobey Him, He's always there. He's always there. Oh, beloved, we have so much to be thankful for. How that He loves us and cares so much about us, even when we turn our backs on Him, even when we fail in our service to Him, even when we falter sometimes and fall by the wayside, He's there to hold our hand and to lift us up. He looked at the disciples out in that boat as He stood in that seashore. He came to them. He came to give them a new day. He came to give them a new beginning. He came to give them a new opportunity. Another opportunity to get it right. Thank God when we go in the wrong and off-beaten path, He just doesn't knock us on the head and knock us down and leave us alone. But He's always there, waiting, longing for us to realize the mistakes that we're making and the path that we're taking and turn our eyes upon Jesus. He's there waiting and willing to extend that loving hand and say, "My child, I love you. Get up. Let's do it over again." He's ready and willing to forgive. But that doesn't condone us to continually be disobedient to His Word. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to obey Him. But He comes, and He stood on the shore. And the sad part about it was, they did not recognize Him. The disciples did not recognize Him. When before have you ever heard or read in the Scriptures, while Jesus was here with His disciples, that there was ever a time that they didn't recognize Him? Not until now. Why? Because the problem was they were gone out of the will of God. They had stepped out beyond the boundaries. They had gone on the wrong path. And now as He stood on that shore looking out, here was His disciples who didn't even recognize Him. And He asked them a question. "Have you caught any fish?" And the answer is the folly of disobedience. No. "No, Lord. We got nothing to show. We've been out here all night. All night, Lord. Toiling, throwing out this net and pulling it up. Throwing it out and pulling it in. Nothing. Nothing to show, Lord." So He gives them another chance to obey. Look at verse 6. And notice one word in that stands out above all else. "He said unto them, Cast the net," where? Not over the stern of the boat, not over the bow of the boat, but He said, "Cast the net on the right side." That's where He wants you and I to be. He wants you and I to be on the right side. Not on the wrong side, not in the wrong place, not doing the wrong thing. He wants us to be on the right side, do which is right. He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find." And beloved, we see the difference between success and failure was the width of the boat and their willingness to obey His Word. This word there is the difference between success and failure was the width of the boat and their willingness to be obedient to His Word. They could have stayed there continuously throwing that net on the wrong side. But they threw it, and thank God, on the right side. Oh, I pray tonight that's where we are. I pray that we're where God wants us to be. I pray that we're on the right side of whatever it is that He has planned for our lives, and that we're seeking to follow and do His will. We need to ask ourselves and question our lives, are we making progress where we are? Do we see things happening? Do we see people encouraged? Do we see lost ones getting saved? Do we see others encouraged to come to the chapel? These are all important factors in your life and mine. What is happening in our life and our service? Are we happy in Jesus? And the question tonight I ask all of us is this: what side of the boat are we fishing from? What side of the boat am I fishing from? What side of the boat are you fishing from? And it's an important question that we ask ourselves. Are we fishing from the left side or the right side? Oh, beloved, If we're not sure, then we need to be sure. We need to pull that net up from wherever it is. Pull it up. Cast it on the right side. Cast it where the Lord Jesus wants it to be cast. Cast it where it will be productive for Him. Cast it where you will be happy and others will be happy too. In the work that you do, in the life that you live, in the service that you give. Success is just within reach if we would only trust and obey. If we would only trust and obey. A new life of service is there for all of us. And it could change tonight your life forever. Look what it did for Peter. It changed his life forever. Peter was overjoyed. Peter was so happy he jumped overboard. He jumped overboard and swam to the shore. And from that day forward, if you follow the life of Peter, his life was not the same. You never ever read about Peter going fishing for fishy fish again. Never. Peter's life has changed from that day forward. He had a new directive in his life. He was obedient to the word of God. And Peter himself said in the book of Acts that we ought to obey God rather than man. He learned his lesson well. Beloved, I trust this evening that our commission, we're commissioned to catch fish, but not those little ones in the sea. We're commissioned to catch men and women by the lives that we live. You know something? We'll never know until we get home the lives that may have been changed by the life that you and I live. Not necessarily as some of us do by standing in the pulpit, but the most important life that you and I can live for Jesus Christ is to be obedient to His Word and the life that we live outside of the walls of this sanctuary. Maybe there will be many that will look at your lives and see how happy you are and notice the things about you that they don't see in others and recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, that you're being obedient to His Word. Yes, you will fall. Yes, you will fail. We're not perfect. But live a life that they might see Christ living in you, and it will make a difference. And only heaven will tell. And one day, they might be able to say, I'm so glad that you gave. I'm so glad that you gave. Gave of your time, of your energy, of whatever it might be that God has called you to do. Be willing to do it. Obey Him. As I close, there's a thought I want to leave with you. A fisherman catches live fish and they die. A Christian catches dead fish and they come alive. Think about that. And that's so true. A fisherman catches live fish and they die. We as God's children are out there to catch dead fish, men and women. The Bible says, dead in trespasses and sins, out of touch with God, on their way to a Christless eternity. And when Jesus Christ comes into hearts and lives, they become alive. Alive in Jesus Christ, with a new hope, with a new life, with joy and peace that this world cannot give. Oh, beloved, I trust that that is the desire of our hearts this evening. You know, perhaps we can understand now why Jesus had 7 fishermen in His band of men that followed Him. Out of the 12, He had 7 fishermen. You know why? They knew how to work. They had courage. They had faith to go into the deep waters. They had patience and perseverance. Who of us would fish all night? All night and catch no fish? I don't like to fish for 10 minutes if I don't feel a bite of my line. Did you see the difference? They fished all night. Patience, perseverance. These are men that the Lord Jesus had called. They would not quit. They would work with each other. They were skilled in using their equipment. What great examples you and I have tonight as we follow Jesus. My prayer this evening is that it might be the desire of each of our hearts to know the will of God for our lives, to be obedient to His Word, to seek to do His will. Let Him live His life through us, and that our lives might be examples to others, so that one day together, we shall all be with Him around His throne in heaven. May God bless and challenge our hearts this evening for His name's sake. Next week, if the Lord be not come, we're going to look at another subject on this, which I've already mentioned. We are shepherds. Love Him. And we'll see that example given here in this passage of Scripture. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening for His name's sake. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for these wonderful examples that You've given to us. But, oh God, we can sit and listen at them all day if we're not willing to allow You to live Your life through us. May we, as Your children, Lord, recognize the need for being in the will of God, for doing what You want us to do, for being the men and women that You want us to be, and live our lives accordingly. Again, we commend each one to Your care and keeping. Go with us now as we leave this service, but not Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if we might sing just one verse and chorus of number 459, and then the service will be over. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening. 459.